Hare Krishna. It's not just about you. It never was. Sometimes when we during moments of weakness have slip and fall in our moral standards, then we think, we try to dismiss it as not very consequential. After all, it's just about me. It doesn't matter to others. We think that as long as others don't come to know about it, and as long as it doesn't become public knowledge, then everything is all right. And as long as we can portray ourselves as good, I think we think that I'm a good person, or at least I'm not a very bad person. This is okay. Everybody has faults. Yes, it is true that everybody has faults, but then there is the direction in which our faults are going. Are they going up or are they going down? Now, the reality is that it's not just about us, because we all live in an interconnected, interdependent world wherein our actions influence those of others, and theirs influence us. So, surveys suggest that even the most introverted person over the course of one's lifetime will influence about 10,000 people. So if that is the scale of influence of inconspicuous introverts, then we can imagine what will be the scale of influence of ultra-visible social leaders. That's why the Bhagavad Gita 3.21 underscores the role of leaders as society's behavioral torch-bearers. Yad-yad acharati sreshtas tattadevetaro janah sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So, yad-yad acharati sreshtas, as sreshtas, as those who are considered great in society, the leaders behave, tattad evetaro janah, that way others also behave. Sayat pramanam kurute. Pramana, whatever standards they set, lokastad anuvartate, people in general imitate those standards, emulate those standards. So, for example, if a leader behaves immorally, then that action is not just about him or her. That leader is, by that action, lowering the bar of moral acceptability in society. And thereby, that leader's actions contribute to or even accelerate the ethical degeneration of society. So, now, we may or may not fancy ourselves as leaders, but, as I said, we do influence others, as surveys suggest. And more than that, especially when we come to Krishna and we start practicing Bhakti Yoga, then we have leadership thrust upon us, whether we want it or not. We become examples by which people evaluate Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. They evaluate the Bhagavad Gita. So we become leaders, we become at a small level spiritual leaders for them. And when we behave improperly, then, and that knowledge comes to light, then, and actually three things happen. First is that if the atheists come to know about it, then they get that much more ammunition to fire at what they deride as the God business. They think, oh, these people are just making money out of religion and they are corrupt. And just see, this is the evidence that they are corrupt. And then, so that is the effect on the atheists. And there are fence-sitters, people who are undecided whether to become spiritual practitioners or to not. The fence-sitters, the undecided, get one more reason to decide against active practice, to go towards atheism. And those who are devotees, those who are devout, they have to overcome one more discouragement. Because when they see a fellow comrade, a fellow spiritualist, tripping and falling, that discourages them. And they have to overcome that discouragement and to be able to continue their own practice and their outreach. And we have not even considered the influence on ourselves that it will have. So that is definitely there. So it's not just about us. That's much more consequential. So now, we may sometimes feel burdened. Oh, my actions have so much consequence. But we don't have to see it as a burden. Instead of being burdening, the knowledge of the consequentiality of our actions can be empowering. Because we can think that with every choice that we make, with every right choice, every ethical choice that we make, we can contribute in a small but still significant way to the overall moral regeneration of society. Thank you. Hare Krishna.